They were married about 80 or 90 days ago, so they're still basking in the afterglow. It's good to be in your 20s and get married. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're happy for them, but happy that they're back here with us this morning. I'm also thankful this morning that we're going to hear from Mr. Brandon Kemper in just a few minutes. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Brandon has he has a pretty demanding job that he has as a sales manager with a telecommunications company, and so when he takes, you know, his father, for anybody who doesn't know, his father pastored this congregation for 21 years, and now Brandon himself is a husband and a father of two beautiful kids, and the thing that I'm thankful about is that he takes time out from the demanding job and being a husband and being a father to volunteer with, like, teens and young adults in this congregation, in this community. Some of your teens and young adults who are in this congregation. And I'm just thankful that he's gonna come and share for a few minutes. Amen? It's not lost on me, Brandon, that you volunteer like that. And it's not lost on these people. It's not lost on the Lord. So we appreciate you this morning, Brandon. I understand one young lady amongst us had a birthday yesterday, her 89th birthday yesterday, so that's pretty cool. So happy birthday to you, Roz, and absolutely. So before Brandon and a couple of guys come up to share a testimony, actually I want to talk about for a few minutes the relevance, the value, and the power of testimony. The power of testimony, the value and power of the witness to God and of God and His Christ in our mouths, the testimony, the word of our testimony. Where would any of us be today without someone, somewhere, at some point, sharing the testimony, testifying to the goodness and the greatness of God? Where would we be in the kingdom of God if somebody didn't say, I want you to know, let me tell you about the goodness of God. Let me tell you about the greatness of God. Let me tell you about the faithfulness that I've experienced. Let me tell you about the peace I've come to know in His presence. Where would any of us be in the kingdom of God if someone hadn't stood up to testify or told us and testified to God's goodness in their life? And we're not the only ones. We know the scripture says that creation testifies. Psalm 19 says, the heavens are telling of the glory of the Lord, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. The heavens are telling, and the expanse of the earth is declaring, testifying to who God is. We also know that the scripture testifies to the Lord. The scripture in John 5, Jesus says, the scriptures testify about me. They're actually called testaments, right? An Old Testament and a New Testament. That's that same root word. They're there to testify to who God is, what He's done in the past, what He's going to be doing, what He is doing now. So we have creation, we have the Scripture, the Old and New Testaments. We know that the Holy Spirit of God Himself testifies as to the Lord. Amen? Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our heart that we are children of God. Have you ever gotten a witness of God's Holy Spirit inside of you? Have you ever felt that wow, this is God's Holy Spirit, and I actually have he's witnessing and bearing witness to the testimony of who the Father is and who the Son is. So the Holy Spirit, creation testifies, the Scripture testifies, and the Spirit testifies. And in addition to these three, God wants you and me to testify. God wants His word in our mouths. God wants our experience that we've had with the truth of His word and the truth of who He is, the goodness of who He is, to be in our mouths, in the ears of somebody else to hear, so that they can understand too the goodness and the greatness of God. So it's relevant, it's good, and it's valuable to all of us. It's necessary for all of us to have a testimony and to testify to God's goodness. It's a significant call in our lives. That's why I come up here on a Sunday morning. Right? That's why we're doing what we're doing. And I'm glad there's some other people who are going to come up and help me testify this morning. I think it's a great thing. But it's a significant call on your life where God has placed you in the unique position that you have that will be exposing you to people that I'll never see and I'll never talk to. That only you will have the unique place in life and in this season and in history of mankind that you have. You're the only one. And so you have this same call to testify to God's goodness, honoring God with his testimony, with your God-given voice, in your God-given family, in your God-given vocation and circumstances and relationships that you have that are unique to you. You have this calling to be a voice to testify to the Lord. Amen? I'm going to read four scriptures quickly that direct us in that, to honor God with our testimony. The psalm that we read this morning, our call to worship, Psalm 107, says, "The Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Right? Say so. You're supposed to have a say-so. You're supposed to carry that say-so, that declaration of God's goodness. The Lord is good. You're supposed to say so. You're supposed to tell people about it. Is the Lord good? Have you experienced his goodness? Have you been redeemed? Anybody here been redeemed this morning? You're supposed to say so. You're supposed to declare that testimony to the people around you. Time after time, it's recorded in the New Testament, and I love that Mike read this during the announcements. Luke 8:39, Jesus said to that man that he healed, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. He said, go back and describe that word, describe, diegeomai, means to lead, to carry a narration. That's the Greek word that's rendered describe, diegeomai, to carry a narration through to the end, to give a full accounting. Jesus says, go give a full accounting of the great things that God's done for you. We're not supposed to just say, yeah, the Lord is good, that's part of it. But he says, describe it. Describe in detail, give a full accounting of what God has done in your life. Don't just stop at the Lord is good. That's awesome and that's true. But only you can share the full accounting of what he's done with you and in your life. And we're called to do that when we encounter the Lord, when we have an experience with Jesus Christ. Before Jesus returned to the Father, he said to the disciples, you shall be my witnesses. My witnesses. Acts 1:8. The word there for witness is a Greek word, martus. It means to be a witness in a legal or historical sense, but it's the same root word for our word martyr. Martus. You'll be my martus, my witness. Someone who, even in the face of opposition and even in the face of harm to your body, that's pretty serious, right? You shall be my witnesses, he said. And he says to us, you'll be my witnesses, those who will stand up and have the word of God in their mouth, have a testimony to who God is and what he's done in your life and what he's going to do in the future. You're called to be my witnesses, and that's you this morning. And then one more scripture from Revelation 12, and it kind of ties these things together. The Apostle John says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even when faced with death. Did you know that the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren? The accuser of the brethren, and the voice from heaven says they overcome him. They overcame the accuser because of these three things. First and foremost, they overcame him because of the blood of Christ. Me against the enemy in my own strength, apart from Christ, I have no chance. I have no chance. Me against the enemy, standing in the blood of Christ, covered by the blood of Christ, the enemy has no chance. The enemy has no chance. So first and foremost, here's how we overcome. Through the blood of the Lamb, and because of, he says, and because of the word of their testimony. There's power in the written word, in the biblical testaments, but there's power in the spoken word, your verbal testimony of the truth that you've experienced. And that's why your testimony is so important. It's unique to you, and no one else can bear that testimony. You and you alone can bear witness to who God is and what he's done in your life, and no one else can. That's why the parents of that blind man, when they were asked by the Jews, hey, what the heck happened? He said, ask him. He's of age. He's the one who's experienced it. He's the one who has the unique perspective to bear witness and to share the testimony of what God's done in his life. And you heard Mike read it. He's the one who could do it. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony. And finally, we see third, because the third because of here in Revelation 12, 11, they overcame the accuser because they didn't love their own lives, even to the point of offering up their lives as Jesus did. The ultimate testimony. The ultimate testifying. His word's going to be in my mouth. The profession of who he is and what he's done in my life and in my personal experience with him, it's going to be in my mouth no matter what happens, come what may. And we see this union again of this testifying and this giving up or offering up our lives. There's power, there's value in your testimony. Please remember that. Your overcoming in some way depends on it. Because of the word of the testimony in their mouths. If you want to overcome, you have to stand covered in the blood of Christ. And guess what? Because of the word of your testimony, you have to stand up and testify and be a witness to who God is and to what he's done. So be intentional. Be intentional about sharing what God's done in your life with the people and the world around you. Just like Brandon and these guys are going to do now. So why don't you just welcome Brandon as he comes for a few minutes to set this up, and all the guys, sure, however you want to do this.
Good morning. So actually, while Elise was playing during the offering, I just kind of felt to pray. And yeah, so there's no bad place or time to pray, right? So maybe a little unorthodox because we already prayed, Pastor Joel already prayed, but just kind of want to pray if you guys want to bow your heads and close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I praise you and I worship you for who it is that you are. Lord, I thank you that you're in this place, God, and I thank you that you live inside of me, that you live inside of Jay, that you live inside of Tyler, that you live inside of us, God. And you're in the business of doing miracles. You're still doing wonder-working miracles. You're still doing amazing and absolutely incredible things, Father God. And Lord, as we testify today of your goodness and of your love and your mercy and the things that you've done, Father God, I pray in your name, in Jesus' name, that lives would be touched, Father God. Anyone who's bored right now, I pray that they wouldn't be bored. Anyone who doesn't have ears to hear, I pray that they would have ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would speak, Father, and every single soul that's represented here, in Jesus' name, would hear what your Spirit's speaking, Father. Lord, I beg of you, Jesus, I beg of you, God, that each and every single person, myself included, would be touched by how real and authentic you actually are, Father God. I thank you that your kindness leads us to repentance, Father. And today, Lord, we're going to testify of that, God. So I pray that you would fill Tyler's mouth, that you would fill Jay's mouth, that you would fill my mouth, Father God. And Jesus, that we would say exactly the things, Father, that you've intended for us to say. Nothing more, nothing less, but exactly what you've intended for us to speak here today, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love and your mercy. And we pray these things in your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Got a heavy amen there. So I could stand up here and I could talk for weeks and months and years of just how good God has been to me in my life personally. And even just, you know, in the short time that I've been able to get to know these guys and other guys who aren't here right now too, who I would love to be here and for you to hear from them also, but we're just going to kind of testify a little bit about them and different things that happened with them also. But there's been so much that's happening, if you don't know, at this church already. So like, if you haven't been here, or you don't know what's going on with the youth group, or the fact that we started a Bible study, or just so many different things are happening here. And so you're in a good place, you're in a good church, and we're definitely shepherded by an amazing shepherd, Pastor Joel, who I love so much, and just really blessed by him. But going back, I guess, kind of a little bit over a year now, Jay, right? So Jay, guy in the blue right here, actually came to church due to a set of a bunch of different circumstances. And I just kind of met him, you know, got to talk to him a little bit. And I invited him into the office. Like Pastor Joel said, I'm a sales manager of a telecom company. And so just kind of invited him into the office and, you know, said, hey, you know, he was a teacher's assistant at the time and everything. And I said, listen, you know, if you want to come, feel free to come. And I didn't think he was actually going to come. And the next morning he came suited up, tie, everything. And I thought I was seeing things. I'm like, all right, I guess he's here for an interview. So he came back. We sat down together and just kind of talked. And I said, listen, you know, if this opportunity's for you, then I'd love to have you here. And so then he started. And so now going back, I guess it's about maybe 2 or 3 months, we were going on an appointment together. We were driving into Brooklyn or the Bronx or somewhere, wherever it was. And I just kind of started sharing the gospel with him, and it really just started hitting his heart. And that's when Jay actually received Christ. So the things that, you know, God has been doing in Jay's life since then, I'm going to let him kind of share a little bit, but it's amazing. Like I said before, God's actually in the business of doing miracles. Church is not boring. Church is not weak. Being a Christian is not like the worst thing ever. It's not, you know, like one of those, like, all right, I'll get through it. I'll grit my teeth and bear it type of thing. It's not like that. I tell these guys all the time, believe it or not, being a Christian is the most adventurous thing that you could possibly do. I promise you that. It really is. And that's not just like a line or something that you read on social media or something that I say right now to feel good and make you feel good about it. Like, yeah, I came to church today. This is good. I feel good about this. No, it's actually when you live it and when you walk it out, and that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short. But that's why God has given us forgiveness, right? And that's why his kindness leads us to that place of repentance. But being a Christian is the most adventurous thing that you can do. These guys are both 21 years old, okay? And so they're young. They could be doing whatever they want, but they're choosing to live for Jesus because they see the benefit in that. There's a benefit in it. So I'm just going to hand it off to Jay, and he's going to talk a little bit about his circumstance.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, thank you, Brandon. I just wanted to kind of start by letting you guys know that, you know, I was lost, like literally lost. It's kind of like breaks me down to, you know, think how lost I was. Oh man. So scripture does say, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 23, make straight the way of the Lord. And, you know, I was stuck, I was lost, and it was all a part of his plan, you know, to bring me to him. And like Brandon said, you know, we were on our way to an appointment, and I was always in the church as a kid. You know, my grandmother always, like, kind of just dragged me to church. I was young, I was like, you know, oh, let's go, like, let's just get it over with. But, you know, she kind of brought me to it, so I knew what the truth was, but I never literally, you know, spoke to God, had a relationship with him. You know, there's a difference between knowing him and having a relationship with him. And I feel like now more than ever, I have a, you know, a tight relationship with God and with my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, like I said, it was all a part of his plan because he's omnipotent, he's all-knowing. And I think me being lost really started when my parents had split up. I was 18 or 19 at the time. I was working at Bricks and Barley in Long Beach, a restaurant many of you probably are familiar with. And I was also a teaching assistant at that time with special educational students. And I felt like that was my calling at some point, you know, but, you know, if God's dragging you another way, then you got to kind of just, you follow it, you know. you know, you can't say no. So, you know, I was in a dark time where my parents had split up. I was using coping mechanisms such as, you know, drinking, smoking, getting tattoos. It was like, it was really bad. It was like a race to like who could do the most sin, literally. And, you know, I was just putting myself in a bad spot, like around a bunch of people that were doing the same thing, just smoking, drinking, and just sinning all the time. And we all know what the wage of sin is, and that's death. And I was on a path to literally not have eternal life at all. It was really bad. But at some point before meeting Brandon, you know, like I said, I was being a TA. I was going out by night, literally sinning. You know, and in scripture it says the wages of sin is death. And me being only 21, and you know, temptation is at like an ultimate high. You know, every corner, every turn, you know, you see temptation. Temptation just leads to sin. And I had no backbone because I wasn't living for the Lord, you know, and you can't do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. I was living literally for the next drink, the next joint, the next girl. I was so deep into sin. And then, you know, not getting any better, I started, you know, I was still going on being a TA, still working at Bricks, just, you know, doing the normal stuff, just going through the motions. And then I was working one day, and I got a text from my mother, because my grandmother had really bad cancer, and she said, Grandma died, you know, and we were on our way to the hospital. It was literally on my brother's birthday, on November 21st, 2017, on his birthday. Like, I can only imagine how he feels, and I feel like myself and him never fully grieved to this day. We just used coping mechanisms together, literally. We were going out together, you know, just sinning and just not grieving whatsoever. And I shared it with Pastor Joel and with Brandon and with Tyler at the group the other night on Wednesday, that I never grieved, you know, fully. Like, I couldn't shed a tear. I was so numb to the fact that my grandmother that I was with for the mere 21 years of my life had just died to a horrible disease, you know? And it was literally from vice, you know, just drinking beers and just doing drugs, and it was horrible, you know? And I just, like, it just, like, you know, numbed me to the point where I couldn't even, you know, shed a tear until I looked at this one photo that's still on my background on my phone, and it's me and her. She was holding me as a kid, and once I saw that, I just literally broke down, man, and I just started shedding tears. But that's like the only time I cried about it, you know. And, you know, just meeting Brandon at church the one time. And it's crazy because before I came and met him at the church, I was literally out at a bar the night before. I was, you know, just being a hypocrite. I came to church thinking, you know, all right, let's go to church. Let's, you know, I'd repent. I'd be fine, you know, after like drinking the whole night and just partying. And literally before I came to church, me and my friend, like, literally took, like, a shot of liquor before we came to church. Like, you know, just horrible, just, like, really bad. And I came and met Brandon, and God literally put Brandon in front of me and said, take this route. Like, I was, like, thinking, should I just stay and be a TA, or should I just go and just take the leap into sales? And I took the leap, thank God, you know, and I met Brandon. And, you know, we were on the way to the appointment one day, and I asked God for salvation. You know, I believed in my heart because I've always been around the truth. I just had to ask him for salvation. And I believed in my heart that Lord rose from the dead. He's Jesus Christ. He's amazing. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. And I felt this flush warmth just go through my body. Like, as soon as I asked him for salvation, and I felt reborn again. Literally, I felt reborn again. It's amazing. Like, I felt reborn, you know? And, you know, with that being said, being reborn again, I just started, you know, being around Brandon and his wife, Kathy, more. And I found fellowship with Tyler. And it's amazing because I just remembered, me and Tyler went to middle school together. And then, like, it was just a span of years where we just didn't see each other. And then we saw each other at the guys group, you know, 1 week. And we were, like, looked at each other. And we were just like, oh, like, this is crazy, you know, small world. And it was amazing, though, you know, and then that's, you know, pretty much from there. We're at the youth groups. We're, you know, trying to be youth leaders. We're just trying whatever we can to, you know, live the straight path and live Christ-like, live for Christ. And one, you know, piece of scripture that just sticks with me no matter what is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. There are few who find it. And, you know, I always think Jesus is knocking, you know, just let him in, just get open the door. All he wants to do is dine with you and you with him. And, you know, I'm just happy that I opened the door for him, you know, and I'm dining with him and I'm receiving, you know, fruits of faith. And, you know, hearing the word of God is just strengthening me every day. And I'm just becoming stronger in faith and, you know, just fighting temptation. And I didn't want to be lukewarm. You know, when Brandon told me another piece of scripture in Revelation, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And I just kept envisioning being at the gate and Jesus looking at you and saying, no, get out of here. Like, I didn't want that. You know, like, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be either all the way in or all the way out. Kathy says it all the time. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out. And I'm all the way in, you know. So, you know, with that being said, I just wanted to, you know, kind of share my testimony. And, you know, I'm just going to hand it off to Tyler.
Good morning. I'm really, like, pretty shocked that I'm giving my testimony right now. I honestly, for me to be giving my testimony here right now is really just the work of God. It's a miracle in itself. And basically, he's been calling me for my whole life. You know, I grew up in the church. I used to go to Young Life, Wildlife, the whole thing. And I just wanted to do my own thing. You know, I wanted to experience the world on my own. And I really did that for a couple of years. I was partying, going crazy. You know, I was at one of the biggest party schools in the country, just going nuts. You know, the only thing I cared about was girls and having a good time and just living in complete sin. I had no regards to anything else. And basically, I got myself into a really, really difficult situation. I had, and I called on the Lord in desperation because I really had nowhere else to turn and I knew it was it. So I called on the Lord, and November 16th, 2018, and my life has never been the same. Really, never has been the same. I had called on the Lord because I was out at a bar and I was just really messed up from drinking and just doing drugs and everything. And I was in a bathroom and some guy that I'd never seen before came up to me and he just punched me in the face and I pretty much snapped and I beat this man like really, really bad. And you know, the ambulance came, the whole thing, I fled and I literally thought that I killed this man. And I thought that my life was over, done. I thought I was going to the jail for the rest of my life. I literally thought that I threw my entire life away. And that's when I called on the Lord in desperation, and he really showed out in my life. And the Bible verse that, you know, really sticks in me, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. So when I called out to the Lord, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no idea who the Lord was. And I, to be honest with you, I really thought he hated me. I thought that I've done so much wrong for so long that the Lord hated me. I had no idea who he was. But in that moment, when I was at my lowest point in my life, and I called on the Lord, he loved me so much. Jesus bought me with his blood. He paid the price for me on the cross, for my salvation. And he saved me. You know, that semester was a really tough semester. I had a lot going on. This was last spring. I have celiac disease. So I have to cook all my own meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I have to go food shopping on my own. I was away at school. I wasn't home. I was in South Carolina. And I was taking 5 upper-level classes. I was taking economics, finance, accounting, business law, and one other class I forgot. And it was just a lot. I had so much going on. And I was just overwhelmed, like completely like stressed out, anxiety through the roof. And I just was just reaching out to the Lord, praying to him, just leaving it in his hands, and he never let me down the whole time. And like it says, they will never perish. I never perished, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I had temptations going around me like crazy, and God just kept me in his hand, and he brought me the whole way through, and I listened to his voice, and he's never let me down. He's never disappointed me, and I wouldn't trade my salvation in for the world, literally anything. I wouldn't want to be living any other life besides the life that God created me to live. And I'm free now. I'm free now. I found my freedom in the Lord. And I thought that, you know, freedom was going out, doing your own thing, having fun, messing around, just doing whatever. You know, you think that that's what freedom is because that's what the world tells you freedom is. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. You find freedom in the Lord because he is the truth. And, yeah, the whole time, God took care of me. I listened to his voice. I stopped hanging around my friends. When I came home, I wound up transferring home. It was really tough. I'm in my senior year now. I wound up getting into Adelphi and Hofstra, got academic scholarships to both schools. My last semester, when I was away and had everything going on, by the grace of God, I made the dean's list. And he's really just has always taken care of me. He's never let me down. And I stopped hanging around my friends. I knew the Lord was telling me, stop hanging around your friends. Stop going out. Just focus on me. Just focus on me. And that's exactly what I did. And I remember one night I took my little cousin out to practice for his road test. And we were parallel parking around town. And we were actually doing a parallel park right outside over there at night about like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I saw the lights on in the church, and I knew they had the men's meeting. And I heard the Lord tell me, you're going to be going there one day. Just wait. So, you know, I came to church maybe like 2 weeks later, and Pastor Joel approached me after I was talking to him. And he said, hey, we're having the men's group coming up next week. You should come out and check it out. And I knew that was God speaking through him to me. So I went out to the men's group. I met Brandon there, and my life really has never been the same, you know? He's been a great spiritual mentor to me. He's, like, shared the truth with me, and really just amazing what the Lord's been doing in my life. And I seriously wouldn't trade it for the world. And, yeah, just God is so good. He's amazing. And he never let me down, and he proved, he didn't have to prove to me. He showed me without a shadow of a doubt how real he is and how amazing he is. And I'm just so grateful to be here right now and to speak to all of you and to really just be free. Thank you.
And so it's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, it was whatever, maybe about a month or so ago that I was going to the guys group literally right over here in the, you know, coffee lounge. And I was walking in actually with Jay. And as soon as we walked in, I had never seen or met Tyler before. And Jay knew him right away. You know, they had known each other since elementary school and just, you know, for years, like they said, they played sports together in middle school and all that. So they've known each other since they were young, young kids. And just the connection was so interesting that I sat down and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, who is this young guy? And I also felt the Holy Spirit impressing upon my heart because he sat right to my left. Tyler sat right next to me to my left. I didn't get to say hello to him because whatever, everything was just kind of getting started. So I, you know, didn't get to introduce myself. But I texted Jay and then Joel, Pastor Joel was actually sitting to my right. So I texted Pastor Joel. I was like, what's up with this guy to my left? Like, you know, who is he? Just because I felt like, you know, God was impressing upon my heart and I really wanted to reach out to him. And And Jay was like, oh, you know, he played lacrosse in middle school, high school. You know, I've known him for forever. It's just crazy. He's here right now. And Pastor Joel had said, oh, you know, he's been coming to church the last couple weeks. I invited him. I said, okay, interesting. So right afterwards, that was on a Thursday night, we kind of just spoke and we were hanging out and stuff and talking. And I know Tyler had never gotten to necessarily relate to someone else before. You know, the importance of reaching out to people is so important. He had never really had a conversation with another believer before like this, I guess, outside of his family. You know, he never really had a conversation. So having that conversation for him and for me too, like he doesn't know, these guys have no idea how much they bless me and how much it inspires me and encourages me. Just like obviously I'm sure it's encouraging all of you today. But, so we just got to talk and everything. And then I said, hey, listen, you know, I actually, myself, my wife, we lead the youth group, and it's tomorrow night. That was on Thursday night, so we have the youth group the following night on Friday night. So I said, if you want, you know, you can kind of come out if you'd like. And later on, he, you know, obviously was like, yeah, definitely like to come. He ends up coming. But later on, he had told me that, you know, he was saying when he was in that place where he thought that was the end, he was getting arrested. When he was in that hour of crying out to the Lord and screaming out to God and asking God to save him, he said, I'll do anything. I'll, you know, give my life to you, just not necessarily knowing what the gospel is to a T, but just knowing there's a God and no one else and nothing else can save me right now. And he was actually saying, like, I'll work with the youth. Like, I'll tell them how amazing you are. And boom, in that moment, he told me that it just struck him, like, wow, this is that year ago in November of 2018 when he gave his life to Christ. Like, this is that opportunity. And he goes, yeah, definitely, I'll come. So he comes, and, you know, myself and Phil Guzman, who helps me out with the, helps myself and my wife out with the youth group, we're just kind of talking to him and everything else, and really just ministering to him. And I know at that point, your eyes were so open that you just kind of shut yourself in his house for the next 2 days, just freaked out, like, at how real the spiritual realm is. And the reality of it, you know, Phil always describes it as the Matrix when you take the pill and it's like, whoa, you see, you know, it's like a whole new world. You can't believe it. And so at that point, you know, it was just a real realization for him. And I said, you know what, actually, like, you need to, the both of you guys need to be discipled. You need to understand who you are in Christ. Yes, you took the first step in you know, when giving your life to Christ, you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord. It says, you know, the word says that it results in salvation, but ultimately, you know, you need to be discipled. And so these guys shared, a couple scriptures, and the scripture that I wanted to share is the last words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that following Thursday, we start a Bible study, basically, a new believer's Bible study. So the both these guys came, Tyler brought a friend, and a couple other guys came. So I think we had a total of five or six guys. One guy who actually came that night gave his life to Christ also. So just immediately gave his life to Christ. It was an amazing experience. And, you know, so he gives his life to Christ. And again, that was like just an awesome experience. A couple weeks go by, and he was actually at the guys group. A couple guys I know were at the guys group, and he shared his testimony of what God did for him and how God saved him and all that. But then, you know, kind of fast forwarding a couple weeks, Tyler brought a different friend, and that friend ends up giving his life to Christ also, just totally surrenders his life to Christ. So it's like God is in the business of doing miracles. This life, I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's amazing to see someone who was lost, and just like the scripture that Jay read, right? They were walking through this wide gate, and now they have the gift of eternal life, living with Christ forever. That is a beautiful, amazing thing. It's the best gift ever. You know, I was just telling Tyler the other day, Like, there's certain points in my life, and I don't say this to sound cool or mystical or hyper-spiritual or whatever, like, where I will get so deep into his presence and just feel his love so much and have him surrounding me to the point where I'll literally feel like I just can't want my life to be expedited so, like, I can go and be with him. I want to be done and, like, hang out with him, you know? Seriously, there's certain points where I feel like that, other points where I don't necessarily feel like that, and that doesn't mean that I'm not walking in the spirit or whatever the case is, but it's just the reality of him. He is so real. He is tangible. He's tangible. You can have a relationship with him. So then Tyler's other friend, and Tyler didn't even realize it at the time, but at the end of, you know, us doing the little Bible study, he's like, so his name's Justin. He goes, you know, so Justin, like, you want to give your life to Christ? It's like, all right, yeah, I do, actually. I said, okay, well, do you believe, you know? And busted out Romans 10, 9, and 10, went through it. He confessed. He gave his life to Christ. And, of course, you know, he has ups and downs like all of us, but he's living for the Lord. That was on a Thursday. The following night, which is about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is, we have, you know, a service here at the church. And another random kid comes that I've never met before, and we held an altar call literally right here, and he gave his life to Christ the following night. So it's like revival is taking place. It's one, and then it's the next. It spreads like wildfire. And I wish that these guys could be here today. One's on vacation in the Dominican Republic. A couple just couldn't make it. But all of them actually were here at the guys group. And it was crazy, too. It almost felt like I, like, hired these Craigslist actors or something. Because, like, as I'm starting to talk about them, they all start walking in. There was a pack of, like, four or five of them or whatever. And they just started testifying. And it was like, whoa. For me, just sitting back, I'm like, God, you are so amazing. And I was just talking to all the other guys about it's just taking the first step. Because when you take the first step, it's not like you have to be this amazing orator, or you have to have all this charisma, or you have to be really good looking, or anything. You don't have to be any of those things. Moses was someone who stuttered. He couldn't speak properly. God is just looking for someone who says, I'm going to take the first step. And when you take the first step, he will lead you the rest of the way. He'll fill your mouth. You know, I hate public speaking. I hate it. I actually despise it. I really do. But I just pray, and I'm like, okay, God, I need to get uncomfortable. That's all right. And I'm going to do it because you've told me to do it, and I'm going to be obedient. And I pray that you guys are blessed as a result. I really do.
You know, I don't really know how to say this. Except to just say that, like, this is what I pray for. This is what I hope for. This is what I believe God wants us to see and some of the things that he wants us to experience. Years ago, Pastor Greg, Brandon's dad, asked me if he could pass the baton to me at some point. I'm going to pass the baton to you. You know, you want you to be the pastor of this church. And at the time, and for whatever reason, after being here in ministry for 10 or 15 years and kind of seeing some of the things that he went through and the toll that it took on him and the ups and downs and disappointments and frustrations involved with ministry, I basically said, no, thanks. I basically, and for the next couple of years that would follow, Pastor Greg, you know, I don't know Pastor Greg. I don't know. I didn't know if I was able. I didn't know if I was willing. I didn't know, and I didn't see it. I can see it so clearly now. You know, I didn't see it as, oh, well, I'm saying no to God. I felt like, well, I'm just like looking and taking a look and saying, Greg, I don't know, man. I don't know. But if Pastor Greg was here, I know he'd agree with me. That one changed heart, one changed life, one person born into the kingdom of God makes whatever it is that you have to go through it to get to that point totally worth it. Totally worth it. And so today, there's no place I'd rather be or anything else I'd rather be doing than witnessing what God is doing. Greg prayed for that. Lord, just give me one, I want to see one real transformation. I just want to see one life turned around. And after years of praying that, I know people heard him pray this, after years of praying that, he watched a kid go from his suicide bed at the hospital in New York to rehab in the Midwest to the mission field in India. And Pastor Greg saw that transformed life. I want to tell you this, some other prayers that Greg prayed was for another kid 10 or 12 years ago who was out doing some things he wasn't supposed to be doing, who was trying to find a way to break out of whatever monotony was in his life. He was scheming during the weekdays of how he could make money, and then at nights he was going to the clubs in the city. And he just stood up here and testified in front of you, Brandon Kemper, that is, and God saw, or Pastor Greg saw a life that God turned around. And listen, I don't know what's going to happen with your lives in the next 10 or 12 years. I don't know what God might want to do. Maybe I'll be passing the baton to someone. I don't know. We'll see what God does. Stranger things have happened. I said, no thanks, but God laughed, I think. That's what the Psalms say. It says, he who sits enthroned in the heavens laughs. We make our plans and we make our decisions, and God laughed at some of the things in your lives, Tyler and Jay. I want to read one scripture. We're going to pray for these guys in closing. I'm going to ask maybe Kathy, I saw you back there, if you could come up, and we want to pray for, if you're able with the kids. I don't know if you're able, but and maybe Ralph, you can help us too. Pray for them in just a minute. You know, I'd encourage you guys, I'd encourage everybody, but you guys especially, Tyler and Jay, to go home and read 1 Peter chapter 1 this afternoon. But I want to close with these three verses from 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. And after Peter, at the beginning of the chapter, is telling new believers who live as aliens in this world that you're not going to feel like you belong here, that's okay, that's because you don't belong here. You're not from here and you don't belong here. You've been chosen by God to obey Jesus Christ, who've been cleansed. You've been cleansed by his blood. Verse 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lusts. Those former things appeal to us to this day, every one of us in this room. Those former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all your behavior, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I'm holy. Please hear me. You've been born again into a kingdom, and this is just the beginning, this time in life, but you are in a battle for the rest of your life. It is blessing and it's fulfillment and everything that Brandon just said and everything that you've experienced. And yet, there's a reality to the spiritual battle that we face. Everyone in here would testify to the spiritual battle and to the goodness of God in the middle of the battle. Amen? But he says, be sober in spirit. Prepare your minds for action, not for apathy. Don't get lulled into sleep. You're called to live holy lives. And in chapter 2, he says, you had not received his mercy, but now you have received his mercy. And then he says to them, I urge you as aliens, avoid fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. You're in a battle. Keep your behavior excellent among them, so that they may, because of your good deeds, the people around you, glorify God. Fix your eyes on him. And you're going to overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony, and let that testimony always be in your mouth. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray for these guys? Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for grace that's greater than our sin, for grace that's greater than our weakness, Lord. We thank you that in our weakness, you're made strong, and you like to show your strength on behalf of those who are weak. And so, Father, we thank you for doing that today. I thank you, Father, for the testimony of who you are in these lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the fruit that's going to come as a result, Lord. I pray that this would be a beginning of something that you do here that we can't possibly ask, think, or imagine. Father, our times, our lives, and our futures are in your hands. We thank you for what you're doing, and I pray you'd raise our hope and our expectation. Lord, not in some result that we would want, but our hope and our expectation in you, in who you are and what you can do, and what you want to do in and through a ragtag group of eclectic people on a Sunday morning at Point Lookout Community Church. I know that you can do all things, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, dear God.